How can Christian influence be spread in today's very busy cities? Hello, I'm Dave Thomas, and this is Good Word. I'm your host again this week. Thank you for joining us. I am pleased to have Brant Berglund and Daryl Bigger with me again this week and next week. We have been talking for 13 weeks, or we will have talked for 13 weeks, about the process of restoration that God is engineering, if I can use that word, on this planet, both in terms of individual people and more collectively. And the lesson this week is an interesting one in its own way. It invites us to think about urban areas and restoration. And I'm not quite sure why the author put these in here, but it is a pertinent thing that so many people today are moving from rural areas into urban areas, that the cities of Earth are very big. I don't know what the biggest city anymore is. Is it Mexico City still? It's like 10 or 11 million. It used to be Tokyo. At one time it was London. With the masses of people, and I think we all understand that rural life and urban life are very, very different. I mean, one of the challenges I see in urban life is that you have all these different people put together, and it's very difficult to be hostile to your neighbor who's different from you, because you still have to live by your neighbor, whereas if you're more isolated, you can maintain hostility. So I'm not suggesting that rural people are hostile, please. Rural people can get fixed in their ways too, but and I noticed that there's nothing about rural people here, only about urban people. But if indeed restoration is to take place on the whole planet, it will have to include the cities. And Brant and Daryl, when you think about how the gospel can be spread in cities, how urban people can be impacted by the gospel, how churches, for example, how can Christian communities be established in these high-cost urban areas? What are your thoughts on this? And by the way, before we started this taping here today, Daryl made a mention that Jesus did move from the rural north and came down to the urban south. So I don't know. Maybe you want to say something about that, Daryl.
Well, only that. I think he demonstrates for us the wish to be where the masses of people congregate. He came to not just to Jerusalem, but came at the peak times of year when the most people would be there.
Yeah.
So it was people he was interested in, and he went where the people were.
And I'd like to tag on to that when we look at the experience of the Apostle Paul through the book of Acts, and as recorded through the epistles of the New Testament, the letters that Paul writes, they are almost all to major population centers or to young pastors who are in population centers, like Timothy, who is left in Ephesus, or Titus, who's left on the island of Crete. And these are to Corinth and Rome and Ephesus, a major set population centers. Paul didn't go to urban areas. He went to, or to rural areas. He went to the urban places to reach the most people.
But what were those urban areas like compared to today? That's one question that comes to my mind. What was a city then compared to a city now?
Maybe smaller. In fact, definitely smaller, but it would have had the same cosmopolitan nature. It would have been saturated with trade. It would have been places of financial valuation, people coming for money, people looking for opportunity. There would have been huge class differentials within the cities. You would have had probably a very unique group mix religiously. You would not have had a homogenous religious perspective. So in many ways, very much like today, just on a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, I'm encouraged by that, because I was thinking that these things are so different. I'm wondering if what Paul did has much relevance to today.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I like in the book of Acts is, for instance, chapter 17, when he's in the city of Athens, he doesn't go simply to the Jewish synagogue. He actually goes into the temple of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers and begins to speak with them from their own perspective. And that's perhaps one of the ways in which we can reach the city.
So do you think we have equivalents to that today in cities? Are there places where you can go and speak?
Sure. Well there's no doubt about what cities are the centers of influence in our world. I remember working with a chaplain in the U.S. military who was serving in Japan. And when I was there with him, he was a native of New York City, and had a map of the United States on the wall of his office. Huge, big portrayal of New York City, and the rest of the United States dwindled out into about the western third of this big poster map. indicating that this was a major center. Early Christianity experienced the same kind of thing. Christians flourished, and the leadership developed most intensely around political centers of influence, around the capital cities of the empires and countries, because they were the people who influenced the laws and rules of the population in more rural areas. So
how did Christians access those circles and influence them? Do we know?
Ironically, it didn't start usually with the wealthy. Christianity was a faith that was adopted primarily by the poor initially. But when we see where Paul goes, he tries to find the influential people as well. And we know that he was educated, which speaks to me volumes about how we should share the gospel in our urban area, and that's through education. We shouldn't go in – that's not to say God can't use anybody. But we ought to educate ourselves in the thought processes, the writings, the media that the people in the cities consume. We ought to have some understanding of how to communicate with them.
Mm-hmm. But see, Paul went to, like, up to Mars Hill, for example, in Athens, and he found philosophers there, and he debated them. They invited him in. Mm-hmm. Are there places like that today? You know, I don't know of any, and I do worry about the social and civic disengagement of many Christians. Most public institutions today are not influenced much by Christians. Public policy is not much influenced by Christians. So I guess the question comes, how do Christians get into those circles? The answer is by getting engaged in what those places are doing. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder how much that means that Christians should see the urban areas as a mission field where they go and live and say, my mission is going to be here. Is it possible to live in such a culture without imbibing those things that are not helpful as well?
And see, here we come to a very interesting little debate, is that some people think that Christians should live outside of the city and go in there to work in the cities and then go home again. I wonder if that's effective, because if you try that, you're going to be an outsider, are you not? And I'm much more intrigued by people who move to the city because they want to affect it. And I noticed, I think in Christianity Today, the Christian magazine, that there was an article some months ago where many churches in New York City banded together for a parade, and they all wore T-shirts that said, God is welcome in my city.
Mm.
And they had, like, I think 1,000 or 2,000 people who marched through various places of New York and ended up on some public building just announcing that we are here and God is welcome in our city. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it was met favorably by everybody, but it does seem that they did obtain some, I don't want to use notoriety, because that usually has bad connotations, you know.
Some influence. Well, and I have to wonder also if we see the cities sometimes as a whole, or if we see them as a collection of individuals with whom God's Spirit is already working. Mm-hmm. If I see it as a large whole, I may be prone to not go because I could be overwhelmed. But if I see it as I have one more person to speak to, I have the next person that I want to speak to, mm-hmm, or to influence for Christ or create a relationship with, I may be less intimidated.
Yeah. Now, I happen to be quite intrigued. I've never been to Rio de Janeiro, but I'm quite intrigued with what I hear from that city, where at least in our own religious community, they have a strategy of establishing a church in almost every block of the city, or at least within every short distance. And they have several hundred congregations in the city on purpose. And, you know, I think of also Timothy Keller, the pastor in the now famous pastor in New York City, who has is it Redeemer Lutheran? I don't remember the name of his church. But he went there in the middle 80s. And was told by people, no, get out of the city. This is not a place for church. But by following a very rigorous plan of explaining Christian truths in a very simple way, he has multiple locations now and about 7,000 people every Sunday who worship there. and he's written books, so he's become a very influential person. I think Rick Warren at Saddleback in California. So it's very clear that these things can be done, but it does not seem to come from being disengaged. You have to get into the community. You have to become known. You have to contribute to the community. And a question did come to me. What would it be if people in every community knew that among the primary things Christians did was pray for the prosperity and the well-being of that community? I like that.
And I'm wondering how best that can happen financially as well, if the current structure insists on a large building, a place of worship that is more or less used only for worship once a week, or if the cities would be better served with a more fluid model of church that's perhaps like the way the Christian church as a whole in China is being spread through families, through small groups, more or less underground. Yeah. I'm wondering if that's a more practical way for the community of faith to be in the city.
And one place where I think I would give Christians a lot of credit is in the various missions in the cities to help the homeless and so forth. That I'm intrigued by those, that there are so many of them they can hardly be counted. And I like to hear when people go down and take care of that kind of thing. So how effective would urban Christianity be if it was left only to the clergy?
Worthless. We really work with our neighbors, don't we?
Yeah.
The people who live next to us in our high rise, or
people we work
people
with.
People in the neighborhood, or people we work with. Very good, yes.
Yeah.
It is true that relationships grow in those settings. Proximity is the key.
Yeah, and so, isolation is not.
Yeah, exactly.
I conclude with a quick story. When I was actually in a town. And in New England, they refer what we call cities in the West are called towns. But I was wonderful to have all the Christian churches in that community who have doctrinal differences even and worship differences, but they collaborated to create a food pantry. And there was a social worker in town who actually administered it, but the churches supplied the food and the money to do that. And every month there would be a collection taken in each church for various things that were necessary. And it was actually a very, very, very beneficial thing that occurred there. I just realized that in that same town, the clergy association suggested that there be a forum, an open discussion on the future of the town. Where are we going? What is important to us? And it was fascinating to see that was initiated by the congregations in there who said, we need to talk collectively about where we're going and what we're going to be like. And I think it was well appreciated. So demonstrating some kind of interest and civic involvement in a congregation, I think, is one thing. Because if you establish credibility, as we said a week or so ago, then you do gain the right to speak a word or two into the lives of people. Thank you, gentlemen. And my thanks to David Olson, who has faithfully been taking care of all the recordings. And I reserve my greatest thanks to those of you who listen and sometimes contact us. For the Good Word, I'm David Thomas.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.